Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. This is your day. You know exactly what everybody has need of. So, Father God, I'm asking that you work with each and every heart in here this morning. Do your will, Father God. Have your perfect way. And, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what's going on in the spirit realm, but something very sad, something very foreboding. I felt it when I come through the door this morning, and it won't lift. And right before we started praise and worship, I saw an angel standing there in the corner. I've been waiting for God to speak. He hasn't spoken, but I did hear him say that that the saints have to get ready to get in the trenches because the enemy is going to be attacking very severely, and we're going to have to know how to do warfare. So I really don't know what's going on at this point, but I do know there's something going on in the atmosphere, and I do know that God is not too pleased with, you know, when we come in the house of God, we're supposed to be loving, kind, gentle, you know, long-suffering, and we bring all of our worries and cares and concerns, and, you know, we don't look like happy Christians. We look like, you know, the world. Well, the world looks happier than we do. Let's just put it that way. And God wants to know when you're going to change. You know, he wants to know when you're going to become just like Christ. All right? The song Whisper My Name, the reason why we sang that was because when I asked God what to preach this morning, he said, heaven is just a whisper away. And then he gave me that song of Chris Tomlin's, and I listened to it. And, you know, you aren't hearing, the reason why you're having so much problems is because you're not hearing that still small voice, you know, whispering to you what he wants you to do. And the reason why you can't hear that is because you're too caught up and concerned with the things around about you and the things of this world. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. Then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. See what it says? And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now I want to stop there. When I very first started into the, you know, became born again, I read about the thunder and the lightning, and I wanted God to put through the thunder and the lightning, and God said to me, he said, the way I will speak to you is in a still, small voice. No thunder, no lightning, no signs, you know, just a still, small voice. And I really believe that's the problem with the body of Christ, is you want all the manifestations going on, and you don't hear that still, small voice. The closer you are to God, the better the communication. All right? So anyhow, God told me right up front that's what it was going to be, so I listened very intently to that for that still, small voice. And I didn't worry about God manifesting himself by making the wool wet and the wool dry and you know, and doing all kind of signs, wonders. I just knew that God wanted to speak to me in a still, small voice. That took me a long ways. Yeah, well, God, if you really want, if this is really you, do this, do that, do the other. It's not going to happen. God isn't going to do that. You know, signs and wonders are for the unsaved. We're supposed to be mature in the Lord, and I wasn't mature then, being born again. I mean, I always went to church, but being born again is different. And I wasn't mature, but God let me know right up front, I'm not going to do all that junk. I'm just going to speak quietly to you. All right? All right, I said, the closer you are to God, the better the communication. The closer we get to God, the better we hear. The closer we get to God, the better we can identify his voice. And the closer we get to God, the closer he is to us and can direct our lives. 1 Kings 19:9-18 says this, "And there he went into a cave," this is Elijah, "and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.'" Pity party. Amen. Come on. "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains." I mean, this is God demonstrating himself to Elijah. "And broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" How many of you are in it? I read that twice because I really want you to get the fact that God is not going to do some move a mountain for you. You know, he's not going to make your windows in your house rattle. You know, he wants to just speak to you. This is why I have a hard time with people when they pray. They do all this yelling and screaming and, you know, and what are you trying to get God? God is not deaf. You know, and you just, all you need to do is sit down and just have a quiet conversation with him. But we're so caught up in wanting to have something manifest that we don't even know the reality of how to really talk to our Father. When you listen to God, he will give you a plan to follow. 1 Kings 19:15, "The Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came.'" What did he tell Elijah? "Go back the way you came. And go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram." See, God's speaking to him. He's not doing it through thunder and lightning. I'm glad, you know, I just do not have that. Remember, the thunder and lightning was bad last night, right? And the rain, I just soon have the still small voice. Also, in verse 16, then he says, "Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimish, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of the Shaphat, from Abel-Molon, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." The verse 18 is telling him, you're not the only one out there, guy. And so many people in the house of God, when bad things keep happening, you, oh, woe is me. Why am I going through all this? Well, God told me one time, you're not the only one in this boat. You know, if it's happening to you, it's happened to many more others. So let's quit complaining about where we're at and what God's doing with us. If we're really God's servant, then what we need to do is be content in whatsoever state we're in and allow God to move in his timing and in his way. All right, God's plan, we just read here, God's plan for Elijah was, number one, don't be afraid and go back the way you came. Remember, he was running from Jezebel. And number two, anoint Hazael as king over Aram. And number three, anoint Jehu king over Israel. And number four, anoint Elijah to succeed you as prophet. God did not care that Elijah thought he was the only prophet left. He did not care about that. He said, you have a job to do, Elijah. And see, a lot of us sitting here this morning, and a lot of churches, do not understand that you have a job to do, and you need to quit complaining about the situation you are in. Come on. What God wants to do with his body in this given time is he wants to be speaking to you every day. He wants to be telling you exactly what's going to happen in your life and what is going on in your life. And he will even tell you a time frame of when things are going to happen. That's what he wants to do. But because we're so busy with this other junk that we go through, he can't tell us what's going to happen to us and what his plans are for us. God really wants us to understand one thing this morning. He wants to speak to each and every one of us in a quiet manner. He doesn't want no yelling, arguing, or why God this and why God that. He just wants to speak to you, give you your instructions, and then you go forth and you carry them through. All right, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. See, we don't understand. God wants us to be intimate with him. God wants us to stand before him so he can pass by, so he can touch us, so he can anoint us, so he can do the works that he wants to do within our lives. This is a very trying time right now for the body of Christ. This is a time that's either make you or it's going to break you. You're either a strong tower or you're no tower at all. You have to understand this. And you can't allow every little thing that happens to you blow you off course. You have to have your feet cemented in the rock. I mean cemented in the rock. Because there's some things coming down the road that you're not going to be able to handle if you are not cemented in the rock. If you're not standing close to God and holding on to him and trusting him. I'm just hearing, and God's also saying, fear is going to take you over. I wanted to play that song, Fear is a Liar, but God just didn't put it in there. But fear is going to take you over. And you know, God's told me the body of Christ is going to walk in constant fear if they're not walking close to him. You know, we can't walk in fear. We can't say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. That's fear. If God has called you to do it, you can do it. You can do it. Why is it when I call you out of the desert that you don't move? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the unknown? And he said, I am the unknown. And if I call you out of the desert, then I'll be with you. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If I call you to do a work for me, I'm going to be there with you to walk you through that works. How many of you, whenever God's called you on assignment, and some days you just down and cry, and you say, God, I'm in this valley really deep. He said, but I'm walking through it with you. I've done that many times. He said, I have your hand. Just keep walking. And you know, if you trust God, and if you do that, then you're going to make it through the valley. But if you don't trust him, you don't hold his hand, you're not going to make it through the valley, guys. You're just not. Skip over the rest of that scripture there, Nancy. Then the Lord sent a mighty wind, which broke the rocks in pieces. Then he sent an earthquake and a fire, but his voice was in none of them. His voice wasn't in any of them. After all that, the Lord spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice or gentle whisper. That's like when Chris Thomas sang that song, Whisper My Name. Have you ever just said, you've been really, just really down, and you said, God, all I want to do is just hear you whisper my name. I've done that many times, you know. But I don't want him to say Barbara, because when he says Barbara, he's upset with me. I like my child or something like that, because he'll say, Barbara, I know you by name. But when I ask him, God, I just need to hear you whisper my name. How many of you ever felt really alone? You know, everybody's around you, but you just feel so alone. And there's just something missing. And you just want to hear God's sweet voice. Just whisper my name. And he's saying, I'll whisper your name all the time if you ask. He said, but you aren't asking. He said, I'm telling you today that if you would just ask, I will whisper your name. In your weakest moments, I'll whisper your name, and it will strengthen you to go forth and do the mighty works I'm calling you forth to do. We always want to hear a person say our name. But you know what? God wants to be the one to speak to us. He wants to be the one to fill that void within. And if we allow him to fill that void within, then you won't ever have a void. And you know, you will be able to communicate with people, not expecting them to do something they can't do. All right. I think that's pretty neat the way you just said that. You know, because if God's filling every void with inside of you, when you talk to people, you're not expecting anything from them, because you already have all that you need, because God is in there. And he's saying this goes with husbands and wives too. Husband and wives are expecting too much from each other when what they really need is all of God. All right. The point of God speaking in the still small voice was to show Elijah that the work of God need not always be accompanied by dramatic revelation or manifestations. The point of God speaking in the still small voice was to show Elijah that the work of God need not always be accompanied by dramatic revelation or manifestations. Why do we need some great big thing to happen here to think that God hasn't shown up? Why can't we just come to church, you know, and just sit here knowing that he's here? You know? Heal somebody today, Lord. Why does he have to do that? You know? Knock somebody off their feet, Lord. You know, why can't we just know that God is with us and that he's in control and we just come and sit in his presence and let him do what he wants to do? Divine silence does not necessarily mean divine inactivity. Always remember that. Divine silence does not necessarily mean divine inactivity. Zechariah 4:6 tells us that God's work is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, meaning that overt displays of power are not necessary for God to work. All right? The word of the Lord tends to be that still small voice that speaks to us, not the loud swirling voice of the wind, not the trembling sound of an earthquake. God has a plan for you if you are listening for his whisper. God, if my hands are really anointed to heal, then, excuse me, I want you to heal everybody I touch. Why do you need that? Why don't you just go ahead and be God's vessel, and if whoever he wants to heal, he'll heal. You don't have to ask him. Just know that you know that you know that you are anointed to heal, and then wherever you go, that anointing is going to flow out of you, and it's going to touch people. Do you know how many times I just might, you know, God will tell me somebody just needs a gentle touch, and he'll have me walk by him, just lay my hands on their shoulder and never say a word to them, and then just keep running walking. I don't need to say, "Woo! You touch me," you know. I don't need that. All right? But people, some people need that, don't they? You know, if God says, I want you to walk by this and just put your hand on their shoulder, and then you do that, whatever God needed done, he did it when you touched them. They might not even know he did anything until they go home. Are you listening? Let's quit wanting the manifestations. And let's just want a deep walk with the Father. All right, I said, God has a plan for you if you're listening for his whisper. What things does he want you to do? Does he want you to grow more in your faith? Read the Bible more or pray more? Step out on a new venture? End a certain relationship? Begin a new relationship? Change directions from the way you are going? Spend more time in this area or spend less time in that area? Only you and God know the answers to these questions. What is it that God's asking you to do? Mine is walk by perfect faith, not by sight. God told me a couple months ago, daughter, you've got to be very watchful because the enemy this time is after you again, and he's out to take your life this time. Not just to harass you, but to take your life. And so he's doing exactly that. So I'm not saying, oh, God, why this and why that? I know why. God already told me. And he said, you're going to have to walk by faith and trust me totally and completely through this walk. So see, if you'll just listen to God and listen to that still small voice, he'll tell you exactly what you're going to go through. And he'll tell you exactly what's going to happen as you're going through it. All right? God's saying, why can't you be in a hard place? In other words, why can't you be betwixt and between? Why do you always have to be in a comfort zone? You know, you aren't always in a comfort zone with God. If you are, I just think you're wonderful. Amen. You know, and we don't. God said, quit caring about yourself is what he's saying. And just start trusting him and placing your life in his hands and allowing him to work through you to do the things that he wants to do. And as you do that, he's going to take care of everything that's around about you. He really is. All right, because he is God, he is not confined to a single manner of communicating with his people. All right, because he is God, he is not confined to a single manner of communication with his people. Elsewhere in Scripture, he is said to communicate through a whirlwind in Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, to announce his presence by an earthquake in Exodus 19:18. In Exodus 19, starting at verse 16, is where I started there. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. You know, and I was reading this scripture, I could just about imagine, you know, here this people are all down this camp, and here's the thundering is up in the mountain, the lightning and the thick cloud, and then here's a trumpet sound very loud, and that would scare you, wouldn't it? And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. You know, he had to send him back down to tell him, don't come near the mountain. We're not allowed to touch the mountain. And God said, if they do, they're going to perish. And some of you in here, you'd be just nosy enough to try that. Well, I'm just going to see what'll happen. Zap. As far as going to get you, right? All right, so then, and he can all, God can also speak in a voice that sounds like thunder in 1 Samuel 2:10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces from heaven. He will thunder against them. You can also find that in Job 37:2, Psalm 104:7, and John 12:29. Now in Psalm 77:18, his voice is compared to both thunder and a whirlwind. And then in Revelation 4:6, we're told that lightning and thunder proceeded from the throne in heaven. So God can do all these different kind of ways, but I don't know about you, but all I want is a still small voice. Amen. Most graciously, however, he speaks through his Son, the Lord Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews opens his letter with this truth. That's Hebrews 1:1-2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. All right? All right, so we'll just go on that point there. So why do you always want a prophet to speak to you? Why not just say, Father, I have good ears, and I can hear just as good from you as I can anybody else. So I want you to speak to me right now. And then just sit and listen to what he has to say. Come on. And I know God put prophets on the earth for a purpose, so that he could speak through us, you know, and encourage the people. And I know it, and I'm no different than you. And I know sometimes we just want to hear it from a person instead of your own self saying, is that really me or is that really God? You know, and we want to hear, we want a confirmation from somebody else that we know really does hear God's voice, that he is speaking this thing to us. So please don't say, I said you should never seek a prophet. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying, so many people just really need to sit down and say, God, you speak to me today. You speak to me today. And write down what he has to say. All right? And I can guarantee you he'll confirm it through somebody else. He really will. The difference between God speaking through the thunder and the whirlwind than through the still small voice can also be considered as showing the difference between the two dispensations of law and grace. God speaking through the whirlwind and the thunder is law, and he speaks to his son it's grace in a still small voice. The law is a voice of terrible words and was given amidst a tempest of wind, thunder, and lightning, attended by an earthquake, and you find that in Hebrews 12:18-24. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Remember, that's what they didn't want to hear God's voice anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to, so that, you know, we are no longer going to that, is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So the first four scriptures was the law. And then verse 22 starts grace. You know, God's not out there to zap us and, you know, and kill us all by the thousands. He wants us all to go to heaven, and he wants us to walk with in his grace, knowing that his grace is sufficient and knowing that he is with us at all times. I was reading something early this morning, and it was a prophetic word that Kenneth Hagin gave. It was a vision, really. And in that vision, you know, God showed him how America was going to go through this terrible shaking, and a lot of people were going to be lost, and two cities at one time were going to be destroyed. And he gave that prophetic word, that vision, 20 years ago. We are headed into that. We really are. And this is why God is warning us. And see, we're going to have to hear the voice of God in order to know what to do when those times come upon us. And God doesn't want those times to come upon us by surprise. He wants to tell us exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And so we need to get our minds, I'm hearing him say, unregistered from the world, and get our minds totally and completely stayed upon him so he can speak to us. Now, I didn't say quit living. We all have to live life. But we all know, too, that we spend too much time thinking about the things of the world and not enough time is thinking about the things of God. But the gospel is a gentle voice of love, grace, and mercy, of peace, pardon, righteousness, and the free gift of salvation through Christ. Now the law breaks the rocky hearts of men in pieces, shakes their consciences, and fills their minds with a sense of God's fiery wrath and the punishment they deserve. And then the gospel speaks gently to them of the peace and pardon available in Christ. What I started to say earlier was, when I first became born again and God called me on the scene, I spent 40 years preaching repentance to the body of Christ. And this is what the law was. God was trying to get the body of Christ's attention because the body of Christ was going to hell in a handbasket. Now we're in another 40-year dispensation now where God's grace, his abundant grace, is being poured out, and it's for the lost and the dying. Now we know that God told us 6 months or so ago now that his grace had been lifted from the church itself. In other words, the church kept refusing to walk with God, and they still wanted to do the things of the world. They were still denying the moving of the Holy Spirit, so God lifted his grace from that. Now, if you're one of those that's walking in the Spirit, believes everything that's in the Word, then you still have the grace of God. But if you're one of those that was walking in what you call a gray area, still trying to sin and still trying to serve God, the grace was lifted. I mean, I know somebody personally, and God said, you go tell them right now that my grace is lifted. Not dare go and get back into that sin again, because my grace is not going to be with them and they will have to pay the consequences. So you see, this person, they were really in a bad way, but his grace was with them and his grace covered them. But then finally God said, enough is enough. And now I'm lifting my grace. If you try it again, you're all on your own. So how many of you in here this morning that you might be doing something you shouldn't be doing, and God's lifted his grace, and you're all on your own? You really have to stop and think about this. If God has warned you about your sinful life, or maybe warned you about a relationship you was in and told you it wasn't of him and to get out of it, and you didn't, and you said, I'm going to do this thing, then God said, no more, there's no more grace. Now, you're out there on your own, and you're going to suffer the consequences, and you can't blame God because God warned you over and over and over again what was going to happen if you didn't get out of your sin. All right? And I'm hearing God say sinners are all through the body. And sinners are thinking that they're going to go to heaven but to be with me, but they're not. I don't want you to be one of those sitting in the house of God thinking you're going to go to heaven in your sin, because you're not going there. God's grace has been so sufficient for all of us. And he's been covering us. But now we have to be a witness to the lost and the dying. And, you know, I'm dealing with somebody, and, you know, they're around me 24/7, but every now and then, you know, God will make a way where we're both alone. And then I just start pouring the gospel into that person. And I did that yesterday, and they said to me, why is it that just every now and then you do this? And I, by the gospel, I mean the love of Christ. I don't, you know, I'm just pouring in how much God, I said, I'm moved by the Spirit. And if God hits me to do it, he makes a way. I mean, it's there, and, you know, and I don't even plan it. It's just there. And see, this is what God wants each one of you to do. He wants you to walk so by the Spirit that he, you know, just, you're not even expecting it. All right, so I was walking down the hallway, and God said, go out on the porch. And I went out on the porch, and there sat this person. He said, sit down, we're going to talk. So that's how it worked. And the person received everything I said. And they said to me, they said, every time you do this, it just convicts me. And I believe everything you're saying. Well, I'm only speaking the truth. So where are you at? Is God using you that way? And there's not a thing in you that comes out, you that comes out. It's all God. Why? Because you heard a still small voice go to the porch. You know? And this is the way God's going to use you. You know, all right, you know, Elaine, you might walk out the door, and God will say, go to the left. Yeah, left. Yeah, right. Go to the left, and you'll turn and go that way, and there stands, you know, a homeless person. And then, you know, God will just propel you to walk right to that person, and God will give you the words to speak to that person, and it's going to lift them up. You see how this works? How many of you been going to go, let's say just you were going to go to a store, and God says, don't go there. You know? There's going to be something on in there that he doesn't want you to be involved in, and you have to listen to him. You have to do what he tells you to do. How many of you want to really, somebody's really being ignorant, you really want to say something really bad, and God said, be still. You like to be still, all right, right? But he says, be still, because if you don't be still, you're going to get yourself in trouble. It's what he tells me. Just be quiet, I'll handle this. And he does. Because I told my daughter yesterday, so I learned, I know when to shut up. You know, if you're talking to somebody, don't you know when to shut up? You know you're not going to get anywhere, and all you're going to do is get deeper into that rut that they're already in. And so she laughed, and she said, well, I really wasn't that mad. I said, no, you wasn't, and I know when to shut up. If I'd have said any more, you would have really got mad. See what I'm saying here? But who is it that nudges you to be quiet? It's the Holy Spirit. It says, enough is enough. We weren't arguing anything. We was putting up a fence. But I was just trying to make, I was just going to say something that was going to upset her. But see, the Holy Spirit will tell you, enough is enough. Now be quiet. But there's some of you sitting in here, you're thick-headed, and you have to have the last word and then get yourself in trouble. Right? I don't remember that. According to God's word, he is not deaf. And we don't need to yell, stomp our feet, or throw tantrums to get his attention. Just as he speaks in a still small voice, he hears even our softest whisper. Heaven is just a whisper away. Remember my testimony where I just said, oh, God. And I was just been waiting 3 days to talk to you. And you know, just that was a still small voice that I said that with. It barely came out. But he was waiting. He was listening for me to speak. Do you know how many of you in here this morning, God is waiting and for you to speak? He's listening for your still small voice. Do you know how many of you in here are like that? And God just wants to minister to you. He wants to minister his love to you. You know, you might be going to go into a big battle and you're not aware of it, but God wants to pour his love into you and strengthen you so you can go through the battle. Adam's getting ready to get married. That's the biggest battle he's ever going to go into. And he better be seeking God's face. Amen. Listen for that still small voice. Amen. Come on. I have to tell myself when God asked me to marry Larry, I stayed up 3 days and three nights right before the wedding begging God to speak to me and tell me that really wasn't him that said that. He didn't say a word. I just didn't sleep for 3 days and three nights. You know, I just messed myself up. But, you know, he had already said what he was going to say. He wasn't going to say no more. I could have stayed up for the next 6 months and he wasn't going to speak to me about that. Are you understanding this? You're not going to make God do what he doesn't want to do. All right, the word whispers. It means to speak very softly, using one's breath without one's vocal cords, especially for the sake of privacy. Number one, God's whisper is powerful. Number two, sometimes God whispers to get our attention. And number three, few forms of communication are more intimate and personal than a whisper. Number four, God's whisper is heard with the heart. Number five, you will miss God's whisper if you're constantly surrounded by noise. Little Isaiah is always whispering to me, and I can't hear him for nothing. I said, you have to speak up. He said, I've got to talk quietly. But, you know, Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Why? That they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. And Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I remember one time I was really upset with my grandkids, and I started praying out loud, and God said, what are you doing? He said, if you're going to pray, just pray quietly. But I was angry, and so I was praying angrily, you know, and he just told me to be quiet. Matthew 6:7-8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Have you ever sat and listened to somebody praying as all thee and thou and it? And I said, why are they doing all that? No, I not just talk to God? You know, and then they would talk to you, they do the very same thing, right? And, you know, that's not godly. That's your religion coming in.